Hello and welcome to The Cute Life. I'm Finley.
I'm Ollie.
And we're back for another episode. This is the second time we're recording this.
This is the second time we're recording after our second delay.
God,
we're
useless.
To get out of the podcast the second time.
But I think it's good because the first one we recorded, I feel like we were a bit misery gutsy, a bit miserable. And we were talking about... And we're going to talk about this in this podcast, but I feel like we're at it from the other
side
now, because we talked about like how the pandemic and everything is making everything really difficult and draining your creativity. So we came at it with some suggestions of how to boost your creativity in the pandemic. But we were coming at it in a kind of miserable, oh my God, I feel so creatively drained. But now I feel... like amazing because I've done a really good piece of art that I'm really proud of, and when I do something that I'm really proud of, it makes me feel immortal. So, and you've been...
I've done a drawing.
Ollie's done two drawings.
Jesus
at
God.
Least
unprecedented,
which in the podcast we previously recorded that I scrapped, I put in the bin. Ollie had not done any drawing for like weeks, maybe even months, and then since we talked about it and talked about our creative suggestions, we've both like turned a corner. So we are literal living proof that these suggestions work.
Although you'll never hear them because we scrapped that podcast.
No, I'm going...
Oh, we're gonna say the suggestions again.
I feel like we have tested them out. And it works, because I'm immortal now. I did a good piece of art, everyone. Yay! No, I'm
actually... It took 5 years, but Finn finally did a good bit. What do you mean you did a good bit of art?
But, you know, like... Oh, I was just saying to Ollie, because I finished it and I came down, I'm such a good mood, because it's like... Oh, I can't tell you the sense of satisfaction I get from doing something that, like... It looks exactly how I pictured it was going to look in my head, which I feel like is so hard. Maybe it even looks better than how I imagined it.
Do you remember the dissatisfaction when you were a child of like, you sort of like imagined like, I don't know, like a horse, and you're like, oh, I'm going to do a drawing of that. And then like,
yes.
It coming out of your hand and you just be like, what the
what
fuck
is
that?
Like, I really remember doing that with a gorilla once. Like, and being like,
so
I'm going to draw a gorilla.
And
it was like, just blobs. And I was like, I remember feeling really angry at like my hands and my everything. Because I was like, what?
That's
it. Not a gorilla.
I think it is. You're like looking at you're like, I can see it in my mind's eye.
So why is it not on the paper?
I know what I want it to look like. And then just drawing it, it's like a puddle of crap coming out of your pen. Like,
just five-year-old you, just like, I am shit.
I'm a sham.
Anyway, yeah, so I feel like this is just going to be a whole better podcast in general. But...
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, look, there's always going to be a certain amount of negativity because we're English.
Yes.
And it's what English people do best.
We love a moan.
We like to moan, we like to complain. We like the rain, but...
we don't like the sunshine.
We don't like the sunshine.
As I've particularly been... Well, it's been reinforced in me over the last couple of weeks, as it has been a heat wave. Well, I imagine, has it been in the rest of the world as well, or has it just been in England? And like...
Well, I mean, that's quite a vague question.
I don't know.
Has there been a heat wave in the rest of the world?
Okay, well, maybe not in Antarctica. Although, that ice shelf did just melt.
The size of Manhattan.
Yeah, which is quite scary, isn't it? But yeah, it's been like fucking 34 degrees. Like, it was 34 degrees like for like 2 weeks straight or something. And pregnant Finley was not handling it.
No.
Well.
Finn was roasting.
I was roasting alive. I just... Ollie walked into my studio when I was just crying to myself. I had to have a bucket of cold water under my desk for my really swollen feet that I couldn't even fit into my effing shoes.
We had a tiny crap fan blowing air over a bowl of like four ice cubes.
Pathetic attempt at
like
homemade
air
conditioning.
Like one of those like Pinterest things. Where, like, this life hack to keep your whole house icy cold.
And I was just crying to myself like, this isn't working.
Yeah, and the three ice cubes do absolutely nothing.
In England, everyone, for anyone in the States who's listening, our houses are built to keep us warm and cozy in winter, which usually winter lasts like...
Yeah, it's normally 11 months of the year.
Exactly. And then global warming has just fucked England up. We cannot deal with this heat. We don't have air conditioning.
It's like a tropical paradise here.
Well, it's lucky that we live by the sea, because we've done lots of going on our lunch break and having a bit of a swim, because it's the only sort of respite we've had from the heat. But
yeah, it's very good. It's very smug.
Yes, it
which is.
Is
nice.
We do feel quite smug when we're bobbing there. but yes, it has cooled down slightly, so I'm a lot cheerier.
Hence why the podcast is back.
The podcast is back because I'm not like crying into a... my pregnancy pillow anymore. Oh, I'm 6 months as well. Yay!
Happy 6 month anniversary.
Yay, baby.
Baby 6 months old.
Sort of. It is kind of weird that they are already, what, 9 months, 40 weeks old by the time they're born, and then they just start again.
Yeah. It's like when you're going out and then you get married. Isn't and you reset back to zero.
But isn't it in Japan when you're born, you're one?
Maybe not Japan, but there is some cultures where
definitely you... I'm not sure where, but I've definitely heard that. Sorry, this is the point in the podcast. She hasn't done it actually for a while. Maybe it's just because we haven't been recording.
We haven't done the podcast.
Taylor's now crying to go out.
It doesn't matter.
And for attention.
Just ignore her.
I'm surprised she's not just like more preoccupied with Bob. So Bob is a lovely stuffed dog that got gifted to us by our baby's grandma, soon to be grandma.
Yeah.
As one of her first gifts. And Tova
took a real shiny to
it. Oh, wow. She fell in love with this dog and has now just used it as a sex toy, basically, since we received it. So there's no way I can give this to my baby daughter now, because it has just...
The only thing you can do with it is like burn it, put it in a furnace or something.
It's got wire legs, so it's got like, yeah, wire in its legs, so it's like supposed to be stiff and upright, but she's basically just shagged it closer and closer to the floor, so now it's sort of just doing the split.
Yeah, now it's like completely splayed on the floor.
Yeah, so we've named him Bob, and yes, she asked.
It's taken a real love to him.
She loves him. I've never seen her. She's not.
I've never seen her like another dog.
No, well, no, but I've never seen her actually like really like playing with toys or anything. She's not really that kind of dog. She's much more interested in food. But that took. Oh, she's going over. Yep. She's going to say hi to him now. Yeah. So hopefully, Bob will keep her.
Keep her distracted. Distracted. And she won't cry for the whole podcast.
Anyway, Ollie's done a couple of drawings this week.
I've done some drawings. I'm back in.
Yeah.
I knew it'd been a long time because I got horrific cramp in my hand, like instantly. You don't like write or draw or do like, I don't know. I feel like when you're at school, you do loads of handwriting, obviously.
Yes.
You're always writing out stupid essays about nothing. And then, yeah, I just don't know. I just didn't draw. I sort of drew quite a lot at the beginning of lockdown. And then it just sort of...
went away.
Yeah, just sort of faded out a bit. I don't know. I think it's because I sort of feel like... like there's competition for my free time in terms of what I should do with it.
Do you mean sort of like whether you should do DIY or gardening or...
Exactly, yeah. And it's like sometimes... not that drawing's like a waste of time, but it's like that I'm like drawing and then I'm like, oh look, there's that half sanded door like leaning against the wall, like I shouldn't be drawing, I should be finishing that. And then you sort of end up just sort of, yeah, I don't know, you sort of, well, I mean, I suppose it's like anything, don't you? You go in and out of phases with it. Mm. Especially for me, because with you, drawing is your job, but for me, it is just a hobby.
Yeah, when I don't feel like drawing, I am forced to because it's my job. Mm. So I have to work through my creative block and when I'm not feeling inspired.
Yeah.
Whereas I suppose you can just be like, no, I'm not. And I don't know whether that's actually healthier, really, because you can just like leave it alone for a bit and then come back when you're feeling more revived and like interested in it rather than just like...
But I do have a
creating I have for the sake of it, basically.
I do have a constant, persistent guilt of not drawing.
Yeah.
And I always think, like, it's weird, like, if you weren't into, I mean, it must be the same for people who are, like, musicians and stuff like that, but, like, there must be people who just don't have that.
Creative guilt.
Yeah, or just, yeah, like, a guilt that they're not doing the other thing that they feel like they should be doing. Like, there must be people who just go and they're, like, I don't know, like, their dream was to go and get a job working in an estate agent's. They get the job, they get the whole satisfaction from that from 9 to 5, and then they get home and they're like, ah, oh, that's, I'm happy, I'm content. Whereas you're, I get just home and I'm like, well, I'm going to lie in front of the telly, but then I'm like, oh, I really should go and get like a sketchbook and a little piece of like board to draw on, and then like,
I should be using this time creatively.
Yeah, and you just feel like this guilt all the time. I don't know, but at the other, I don't know, it's just weird.
But yeah, I wonder if like there are, yeah, like an estate agent, he comes home and his creative outlet is playing video games or something, and it's not sort of the same like guilt for like not exercising the muscle, say.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's one of the things, because I was looking at getting like, I thought, like, a, you know, like the tablets, like an iPad Pro or something like that to draw on, which I know a lot of people do, but then I'm like, I don't know, is that really going to make that much difference?
Do you mean like,
just because I think, like, I don't know, maybe if you're feeling a bit lazy, it's easier to just have that on your lap and draw. But then it's like, is it really easier than having a pad and paper?
Yeah, and it's like, maybe that's just a bit of an excuse. Like, I don't know, I'm like, if I had this thing, then I'd be really productive.
Mm.
Really, should it matter? No.
No.
And you'll just come up, if you have the iPad, well, you'll just come up with another reason why you can't use that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And even with those, like, tablets, I always feel like, whenever you, I don't know, not always, but like a lot of the time, like when you see like an artist who uses an iPad and like physical medium.
Yes.
You tend to, like, everyone agrees the physical one always looks better.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's not that it's like, because I look at digital art and I'm like, it's obviously a skill, right? It is, and there's something amazing about just having like whatever colour at your fingertips and whatever medium at your fingertips. It has loads of benefits, but what is it about it that's just like, there's something missing in it? I don't know. And like, when I look at like a painting that's been done on an iPad, like, I think it's like really good and amazing, but I like, there's a little bit of me that's a tiny bit disappointed when I read digital.
I think the thing is, it's the permanence of it, because I think like when you're doing paint or like pencil or ink or something like that, like, because you're using those physical objects, like, obviously if you're doing a painting, you can paint over a huge section of it white and just start again, but like, I don't know, it's harder, and at a certain point, like, you will ruin the paper or canvas or something, like, to a point that it can't be recovered.
There's more risk involved.
Yeah, and I think as humans, it's just like built into us to like, we always like that sort of risk versus reward thing.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that with like Photoshop or something, it is just that like control Z to go back.
Yeah. Which obviously, if you're an artist, is an amazing thing.
But then, I don't know. I would really like to, I've never really tried drawing with one.
I think your work would really work with, like, mine not so much, but yours really would work with an iPad.
And what I really,
and I think it would translate, like, if you, I mean, I don't know whether any of you guys, you should follow Ollie on Instagram, but like the last,
I've done a drawing.
It's the first time.
That doesn't make you want to follow me, I don't know what will.
But he's posted a couple.
Once every 6 months.
You've posted a couple of drawings in the past couple of days that like are taken, you can see that clearly drawn on a piece of paper, but I think if it was zoomed in, like, whether you could really tell, like,
no, I don't think you can really tell
if it was drawn on paper or whether it was drawn,
but that's the thing, it's like, yeah, like
with your style is what I mean.
Yeah, and like those brushes that you get on the iPads and stuff look amazing.
They
like,
do.
They're insane, like, yeah, as real, like, you can't really tell. I think you just yeah, I don't know. I think there is something very appealing about it. It's like a really easy sketchbook to have with you all the time.
Yeah. We've gone on a bit of a tangent there because we were going to give our creative advice, weren't we? But, I mean, That's...
Yeah. Well, we are now. You just cut me off and and announced that. So yes, we are going to give our creative advice.
So I discovered. So I was like lying awake at 3 a.m. as I do quite a lot, worrying about things usually, and it was worrying me that I wasn't feeling creative, or just like I felt like I wasn't making good work, and like the work I was making, I was just like not into it at all. And I think with the baby coming, it's kind of like freaked me out slightly, and I'm kind of having to rethink what I'm doing, which has kind of like scared me a bit. Anyway, so I was kind of scrolling through Instagram and I actually discovered something useful rather than just endlessly scrolling. And it was, I came across this website called Visby, which is run by an illustrator who is or was an illustrator.
I think all the illustrations on the site are by her.
Yeah. So
how do you spell it?
Visby, V-I-S-S-B-I-I.
Visby.
Which I'll link in the show notes. But it's a really actually very good website. So she runs a blog and then she runs free advice as well. So you can submit like your portfolio, which I think is what a good idea. Yeah, so you can just like tell her a bit about yourself, and then she'll get back to you with some advice, which is quite cool. I came across, so she runs a blog and she's got quite a lot of like advice on like how to build a portfolio and how to go freelance, and then one of the things was 9 simple things I do daily to boost my creativity. And a couple of them I thought were really good points. So I do not check my phone when I wake up. And then another point was that I do not look at my phone 1 hour before bed. And it's about sort of the transition between your conscious mind and subconscious mind and the meeting. And that... she talked a lot about writing the first thoughts that she has in the first few minutes of the day. So the only time of the day when your conscious and subconscious are connected is when you're transitioning from one state to another, and giving them a few moments to chat before you distract yourself with your day is extremely important for your well-being. I keep a small journal next to me in bed to make this easier. And then she does this when she goes to sleep, just jots down her sort of thoughts so that she can work through them, her subconscious mind can work through them. Which I think
is, you do that sometimes.
I've got a little journal and when I feel particularly anxious or stressed out, I just like ramble my thoughts in there. I also read a book called The Artist's Way, which I think I've recommended on here before, which is all about getting in touch with your inner creativity and your inner child. I don't know why I said that so weird.
Yeah.
And one of the things they really like pound into you is to do morning pages, where you wake up and just write 3 pages of unconscious thought.
Anything
that comes into your mind, like
Red Rum.
If you like, you've just basically got to write 3 pages. There's no excuse. So you literally, could be writing whatever, like, just anything, any thoughts that come into your head. And then the thoughts being is that you start to notice patterns in your thinking and you work.
So you review the stuff you write.
Eventually, yes. But at the beginning, you're just literally just like, it's almost like verbal diarrhea, and it's like getting all the thoughts out of your mind onto paper. So they're not just rattling around in your brain and causing you bother.
It's not bothering me, thoughts.
My thoughts cause me a lot of bother.
I'm trying to be an empty-brained artist here.
And I just think it does allow you to, like, work through your problems. Like, I don't know, there is something about sort of seeing it written down, or, like, when you start to, like, notice patterns in things. Like, I've stopped now, which I really should start again, because my dreams are way more vivid now I'm pregnant.
And not drinking,
yes. I kept a dream diary, and that was really interesting, because you notice patterns in your dreams, which, I mean, normally you just think your dreams are complete nonsense, but I noticed, like, for example, one of the patterns in my dreams, I'm letting you into my subconscious here, everyone, is I randomly will dream about people I went to school with and I haven't thought about in 15 years. They'll pop up in my dreams and I'm like, what? And I didn't really notice until I've written it down. And then I look back and I'm like, I've dreamt about that person, that person, that person, all people I went to school with. That yeah. I'm just like, eh, what are you doing?
Why is your brain latched onto those people?
Yeah, so weird.
Have you heard that theory that your brain can't make up new faces, so everyone you ever dream of are just amalgamations?
Yes. I think you told me that.
Yeah, sounds like bullshit, but anyway.
No, I think it's true.
Well, there we go.
Anyway.
We've hit an impulse. All right, give me our next bit of creative advice.
Dedicate time to stillness. Distraction kills creativity. It is almost impossible in a world we live in today to be bored. So we have so many devices to keep us busy that we never really give ourselves a moment to ignore all the noise and turn inward. I think similarly to time travelling. When you put your phone away and are still, even for a couple of minutes, you are transporting your mind into a world it has never been before. Try it. Even a couple of minutes a day can make a massive impact on your creativity. And I do think this is true because it's like, I don't know, yeah, when I'm doing the washing up, I always seem to have like all my best thoughts, or like when you're lying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah. I have tons of useless thoughts and worries, but I also am like, have really great solutions to things, which inevitably I just forget about when I wake up.
Of course, yeah.
But I think it would be really good just to do that in the day. And I've definitely been trying to do that more, like not just like when I have a few minutes like scrolling on my phone, just like sitting there and just thinking.
Yeah, I do think that it's quite important to let yourself get a little bit bored every now and then, because it makes your brain sort of go into that state of, yeah, exactly. Like I used to always think that like the doodles I did when I was in university lectures were always really good and weird.
Yes,
like they, because it's like if you sit down with a blank piece of paper and you're like, I'm just going to draw things from my mind, like your brain is suddenly completely blank.
Yeah.
But if there's someone like talking away about something boring,
yeah, it's amazing. Just like,
so you might find that you get really inspired listening to this podcast on that. On that basis.
Let us know if you've been so bored by the podcast that you've done a great piece of art. That would actually be really satisfying.
Yeah. I'd be happy with that if that's what people did.
Yeah. Another one is, I make myself ignorant. Once upon a time, I watched the news. I don't anymore. And besides feeling much more focused and centered, my life hasn't changed at all. I'm a highly empathetic person, and it means that I have a hard time distinguishing someone else's pain from my own. And watching strangers suffering on the news was crushing my spirit on a daily basis. So she's just talking about not reading so much of the news and just like censoring the information that you're taking on, which I think is a really great point. She also said that most highly creative people have an incredible capacity to feel empathy on a very visceral level because of our expert ability to connect our emotions to our imaginations. And that's what empathy is, imagining yourself in someone else's shoes. And I definitely think that's like, at the moment with COVID and Black Lives Matter, it's just a lot of information everywhere, like on the news, on social media. It was at a point just like everywhere you looked, especially that we're not leaving our houses, yeah. Or it was overwhelming at one point. So I think it's important to like just take a stock of like where all the information is.
Yeah, I think
from.
That's it. I don't think advising people just not to watch the news is the answer, but I think just saying,
not burying your head in the sand, but just, I don't know, like a timer for it, like,
yeah, or just being like, maybe the answer is to like seek it out.
Yeah.
So when you like want to catch up with the news, be like, now I'm going to catch up with the news and like seek it out, rather than being like, oh, I just, you know, I go on my Facebook page and I get all of the news I need from seeing the things that my aunt retweets.
My Aunt Terry retweets.
Who's Aunt Terry?
I don't know, I just made her up. I don't know. It's just, yeah, maybe just like, yeah, I don't know, like when I was feeling very overwhelmed, I just like was like, right, I can't keep reading the same stories being shared over and over again on social media when at the end of the day you don't know where, like, who's like put that out in the first place. Like, it could be like someone who has literally no idea what they're talking about,
exactly.
And then you're sharing it. And I think there was all this pressure to share, because if you weren't sharing, then it meant that you were against the movement. Like, I'm talking about BLM now.
Yeah, not about Corona.
Not about Corona.
That's not a movement.
Which obviously
to get
is a good book. Like, we can't bury our heads in the sand about it. But at the same time, it was like all this pressure to share, share, share. And it's like, but are you just sharing for the sake of sharing? And what are you sharing?
Yeah, exactly.
So I just like, yeah, I think that's a really good point. Like, seeking it out. I decided to like not look at social media and then just concentrate on Channel 4 News, because that's like a small window of time that you can like press play.
Yeah, it's half an hour and then it's also it off. It's you choosing a news source that like
is reliable.
But not just reliable, but like that hits you on the level that of how you want to receive that news.
Yeah.
So like, because I like know some people find like, I don't know, Channel 4 to be like a bit informal or whatever, and for them they might find that like, I don't know, they prefer to get their news from some other weird avenue. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really matter. It's just like, I think that's it. It's just like, just being careful you don't get like saturated with nonsense.
Well, I think, yeah, and I just kind of was like, what, like, who are these people that I'm like getting this information from? Like, I mean, it's kind of similar to like listening to someone, like overhearing someone at the airport or something. You don't know, like,
no, exactly.
I'd rather like watch documentaries, read articles like from experts who know what they're fucking talking about, or like actually like black people who have experienced these things, rather than just like all these white people trying to share stuff to prove their, I don't know.
I think we've just got a very strange thing, like, where we, it's sort of like, you trust anonymous voices on the internet in a way that you wouldn't trust the advice of a random stranger on the street.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Even though there's no reason why, like,
it's not really...
Like, if you think, like, the amount of money you'll spend on something... Like, say you go and, like, buy, like, a new laptop. You literally will base that on the review of, like, a stranger on the internet who's like, I bought this laptop and it's amazing. And you're like, oh, okay. Cool. If you saw, like, Mad Janet walking down the street and she's like, buy an HP laptop! You'd be like, Jesus Christ, no.
I like the sound of Janet.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, she could be commenting.
It's so true. Or Ken M.
There's so many people out there you should not be trusted under any circumstances.
Anyway, so those are her points on Mad Janet's point on creativity. No, that's Amber Visby's. She's got some more points on there, but those are the kind of best ones that I thought were really good. I also would like to add to this list.
Mm-hmm.
That I was just talking about over dinner with Ollie. And again, I think this is something I've talked about on the podcast, but I'm just going to say it again because I think it's the best advice I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That, and this is what I did with the work that I've just made that I'm really proud of, is that I looked at all the pieces of art that I'm really proud of and think are like the most authentic to me. And I really like all like my really detailed backgrounds, and when I do lots of like foliage and where the backgrounds are really full, and I was like, I'm just gonna do paintings of those. And so I'm kind of like, I've taken my own reference photos and like looked at nature like around us, and I'm making a series of paintings to do with that. And yeah, and it's produced something that I'm like super proud of. And
yeah, he seems super happy about it.
Super happy, and just like,
and so he looked amazing. I'm like getting peeked over your shoulder.
Yeah, but I've filmed like the process video of like one of them, and like the inspiration behind it, which I'm going to put on my Patreon, which I'm going to launch soon.
Are you doing a special Patreon voice?
This is how I talk on my Patreon.
Yeah, no one's going to. I'm more sophisticated. No one's going to follow you on
there. I'm more sophisticated on there.
You're more sophisticated, are you?
Sophisticated.
Wow.
Unprecedented. yeah, but I think that's the best advice I've ever heard. Like, pick out maybe 5 to 10 pieces of work that you're like super proud of, that you think are the most you, and look for patterns in it, and then make more of that work.
Yeah. I think it's a really good idea. I'm going to try and do it.
Yeah.
What happens if I can't find five pieces of work?
Then you're
not
making enough work and you need to make more.
Oh, I knew that was going to be your answer.
Sorry, but it's so true. Annoying. You haven't made enough if that's your answer.
Well, I've been busy.
It's so good.
You made me sand those doors.
It's just the best advice. And it's like changed my life, I swear. Like every time I feel stuck, I'm like, right, I'm going to do that thing. And it always works. So go forth, everyone, and make amazing work that makes you feel immortal. It's a lovely feeling.
Well, that's a nice thing about having something like Instagram. If you have an Instagram that's mainly dedicated to your artwork, is you do have an easy way that you can just scroll through and...
Yeah, exactly.
Look at all the shit you've done.
Yeah, you don't even have to lay it out in front of you. You can just have it on your computer and be like, yeah, those are really... I'm proud of those. And then you really notice, like, what's similar about them.
Mm.
But, yeah. That's my advice.
It's good advice. I think, I think we sort of talked about this before, but like saying that at the beginning, everyone was super enthusiastic
mm-hmm.
because we all thought lockdown was going to be for 3 weeks and we were like, wow, we get to be at home for 3 weeks and now we've all got loads of free time.
Creative holiday.
Now it's been... like 5 months and I feel like there was that, like, after the initial flurry of excitement there was a bit of a dip, but then I think I think looking at stuff like this and like thinking of ways to sort of reignite your creative excitement is good, because you know we are still all spending more time at home than we were,
me and Ollie especially, since we can't really go out and be normal because of the baby.
Yeah. But I think even on the, you know, on the whole, you know, that's why they had to create the Eat Out to Help Out scheme.
Which me and Ollie always...
Everyone laughs at that. But I think, you
why
know,
did no one in the marketing campaign not question?
It must be intentional.
Why did nobody question that?
It's so weird.
You
know, so they're still having to force people to go out.
Yeah.
So that is kind of a sign that things aren't really back to normal, are they?
Mm.
So I think, like, look at... like this website with her like tips, they're, you know, that's quite good tips. But I think you can sort of invent your own tips as well. I think most people, if you sat down and thought about the ways.
Well, the Creative Pep Talk podcast is always good. That's actually, I think, where I got the looking at 5 to 10 pieces of art and finding patterns in them. That's where I got that advice from. But I find his podcast, Anti-J Pizza, is great sometimes, but it can make you feel very... it can go the other way for some weird reason, and I don't know why.
What podcast is this?
The Creative Pep Talk.
Oh, yeah.
If I listen to any creative podcasts, I can listen to one, but any more than that, it makes me... like get horrible comparison and get really like down about my work, and does the opposite of like
igniting
my creativity. It's weird.
Area where it's like where you suddenly think, like, you know, you're listening to someone and they're like, yeah, so you know, I do 9 hours of art every day and then I go online and I post about it for 6 hours, and then you're like, Oh my god, I'm useless. How can I compete? Why am I so shit? Or the worst is, you know, you hear these stories and they're like, you know, so I went to university and I made a little portfolio of 6 drawings and then they all got bought for £1 million each, and then I got a studio and then I got represented, and then, and you're like,
why do I even bother?
Yeah, like, excuse me, what?
Excuse me?
Go fuck yourself.
What was I going to say?
Got an artist? Got a cute thing?
I've got my cute thing. Who is an artist?
Well, best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly. I always feel like this really satisfied when I find a cute artist to share, because, I mean, I like artists I like. So it's like two birds with one stone, mate.
Certainly. Cute birds, one cute stone.
Talking of birds, their Instagram handle is Ladle Gull.
Like a seagull.
Like seagull. And her name is Sophie Page, and she's an artist and illustrator. And she makes such unique and charming work. I love the word charming.
Charming.
Charming. Charming is one of my favourite words, I think.
Right, okay.
That and flotsam.
Okay.
And sorrow.
Okay. Interesting. But stay on topic. Freak.
She makes a lot of illustrations out of a mixture. They're sort of 3D illustrations where she'll make a mixture of clay pieces, and then we'll mix them with collaged paper, and makes little very cute scenes out of them.
They're like sort of half 3D, half two-dimensional dioramas.
Yes, Ollie. Very good description, young man. That's much better than my description. They're just really lovely, and I don't think I've ever really seen anything else like it. It's very original, I think.
Yeah,
and then she does little drawings of the clay pieces she makes as well, which I just think they're lovely. And she started recently making jewellery, like earrings and pendants, which are so adorable. But my problem is I want to buy them so badly, but I like them all so much I can never choose which ones I want. which, yeah, has meant I don't actually own any.
I think you got to just pick one at random. I know, and buy it.
But basically I really want to, because I just think they'll be lovely as Christmas decorations, and I feel silly buying Christmas things for Christmas decorations in August, especially when we're supposed to be saving our money for baby things.
But arguably,
look how cute that is! Oh my god, it's a little insect.
You don't know what it is.
Dragonfly thing, but it's adorable.
This is the last year you can have delicate ornaments on a tree for about the next 15 years, because they're just going to be destroyed for the next 15 years.
This is true.
I'm presuming our 14-year-old child is still going to be an arsehole.
Well, it is our child, so...
if it takes off its mother.
Fuck you!
So maybe you should get one.
Fuck you very much.
Maybe you should get one of these things and hang it on your tree.
Yeah, I love them. And just stare at it. And yeah, because I can't wear dangly earrings when I've got a baby either, because I'll pull them out my earlobes.
Ew. Do they do that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, so yeah, that's my cute.
It's very cute.
Cute thing, like the epitome of cute. Not, it's just lovely. So I'll link her website and her Instagram in the show notes.
Yeah, it's got like a kind of Marcel Desarme.
Oh, that's probably what I like.
Moomin mix
with Jochen Nordstrom, I'd say. Rather than Marcel Desarme, I don't know.
Shoot me down.
Well. What a wife's for.
Exactly.
Anyway, so that's
from the marital bliss station.
I think that's
That's everything. So do you want to say you've been doing your Patreon?
Yes.
It's
not live yet, but it is coming. I've filmed a couple of process videos. I did a little trip to Dungeness and like the inspiration behind my latest painting that I'm like super proud of.
We're learning to video edit together, hand in hand.
I mean, I feel like I'm being really annoying, being like, it is coming, and then it's not. But it's only because me and Ollie have never edited videos before, and we just want to make sure it's like a game.
Yeah.
Before we launch. So yeah, it's very exciting. I'm excited by it. I think it's going to be the start of something wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun.
There was something else I wanted to recommend, and I literally cannot, for the life of me, think of what it was.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
No. Married at First Sight Australia.
No, don't recommend.
Oh my god, we have to finish this podcast, because it's literally starting right now, and it's the best show on television. Shall I link the video of him brushing his teeth in the show?
Yeah, but you got to quickly explain what it is.
Okay, so... Married at First Sight Australia. It's a show where it's trashy. Do you love trashy TV? Because I love trashy TV. It's basically where they are matched by experts, and they only meet...
Two single people are matched by experts.
Experts. And they meet at the altar, and then they get married, and then they have to go on honeymoon and live together, and then it's like an experiment to see whether the experts were right and whether they're perfectly matched or whether it's all a disaster. And it's quite a lot of couples. It's like, what, 12 or something?
Yeah, it seems like too many.
Anyway, so it's really great because it's Australian and they're all just like a little bit like...
Over the top
and hilarious and drink too much, and yeah, it's just great. But anyway, there's this guy called Troy who is a flipping weirdo.
He's a strange man. He's got like...
So strange.
He's like American Psycho, but not cool.
Yes. He's just so intense with his wife. And that, like, on the day of the wedding, he basically was like, oh, I'm really hung. I'm going to do terrible Australian. No, yeah. Shall
no,
I do
it?
Okay. I've got a terrible Australian accent, so I'm not going to attempt it. But he was like, oh, I'm really hungry. So he was like, oh, I'll just have a little snack. And he ate a tin of tuna before he went to the wedding, which you're like, why didn't you just have a bag of crisps?
It's the weirdest snack.
Out of all the smelly foods to eat, why fucking a tin of tuna?
But also he's like panic eating it as well.
Yeah, he was like scoffing it into his mouth on the balcony. So that was weird enough in itself. Then he runs to the bathroom and brushes his teeth in a manner I cannot even describe. His gums are not going to be healthy.
His teeth can't be attached to his gums anymore.
So hard. I've never seen anything like it. It is mad. It is madness. And then afterwards, after he finishes brushing his teeth like an absolute murderer, like a maniac, he then fucking opens another tin of tuna, eats that, and then has to brush his teeth again. It is absolutely disgusting.
And needless to say, his marriage is not going well.
I've never seen anything like it, so I'm just going to link that in the show notes because it is the funniest fucking thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
But yeah, if you really love trash TV, 100% recommend that. Also, we're going to watch Limmy as well, probably.
Yeah.
Some more of the Limmy show. And we've got to put the bins out.
Limmy's homemade show. Yes. On iPlayer.
On iPlayer.
The second episode was particularly good.
Oh my God, so funny.
Anyway, that's enough recommendations.
After
your night of watching Married at First Sight Australia and Limmy.
You're welcome, everyone.
You're going to be like, I've never listened to that podcast again, they're freaks.
Yeah, so we will be back in a couple of weeks' time.
We'll be back. 2 weeks.
Maybe before, if I get my acting gear and get my Patreon launched.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear me on there.
Mm-hmm.
Or see me on there in video form. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. Follow Ollie on Instagram. See his new drawings he's doing.
Yeah.
At Ollie Place.
Tune in for the next dry patch where I don't draw anything for 2 months.
Follow me on Instagram at Finley Elliott Artwork, where you'll see all the art I'm really proud of, and then see me go into a deep depression afterwards when I lose my inspiration. Yeah, we'll be in your ears again soon.
See you in hell.
Creepy.
Bye.
Bye.